Michael out into right center. The Braves were down 3-0, and now they're trying to take a 5-3 lead, and they will. Both Ozuna and Ozzie score on the interesting throw back in. Two RBI double for Michael Harris.
The interesting throw back in. Yeah. Just a kind of a comedy of errors for the Colorado Rockies. The Braves had 14 hits yesterday, and I would bet, I don't know what, maybe five of them were hit really hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
More than half of them felt like they were little bloops, dribblers, squibblers, whatever. But got the job done. Braves get the win over a terrible Rockies team, 6-3 yesterday. Elder gives up the homer early and then settles down. And don't know who's going today for the
Braves.
Which
is weird. Would it be Ian Anderson since they brought him back?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Could be an option. I heard A.J. Smith-Shawver could potentially get the call.
Is he already? I didn't know he's out there with him.
Maybe he got Blewett. He did okay last time.
You talking about doing a bullpen game? Opener or closer, whatever the hell it's called?
Yeah, those are kind of the options.
Oh, man. Just let Ian go.
Okay.
Yeah, let Ian go. Since he's there.
He is there. Yeah. I'm just, you know, that would be fine with me. I really like Ian Anderson. I was really pulling for him in spring, and it didn't go great. I do just wonder, like, he wasn't good enough to make the team out of spring, right? So they traded him.
Right.
To a really bad Angels team. He played so bad for the Angels that the Angels got rid of him and nobody else picked him up.
How bad was he? It was
bad enough for the Angels to cut him, and they're terrible.
Maybe they wanted to give him an opportunity not to be on a bad team.
And then the Braves bring him back. I just wonder, like, what's changed, you know?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I completely understand. I mean, it's something we talked when we found out that he was coming back, and we go back to when the Braves released him, how open and honest and critical Schnitt was about it.
Yeah.
Like, damn, Schnitt ain't never like that about
so
anybody.
Well, he just wasn't good enough.
Yeah,
like,
just wasn't good enough.
You know how bad you have to be for Schnitt to be honest about you not being good enough?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. And so you look at it from that standpoint, and it's like, does Alex not, is it just a comfortability with people, with agents?
I don't know.
I don't know. But I know there's another, but then what do you have to give up to get him or something like that? I'm like, I'm sure there's a capable starting pitcher on somebody's team that they can bring in or on the streets. But, you know,
it's just so early in the year, you know, for trades.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, because who knows? Maybe it'll be Ian Anderson. Hopefully he does great if it is. If it's Scott Blewett, if he gets another opener starter thing, whatever, hopefully he does well. The Rockies should be bad enough for the Braves to be able to win kind of no matter what, but we'll see. What do you think of Snit's goatee?
His lady told him to do it.
Feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's something that when you're at that advanced age, when you start doing stuff to your face and stuff like that, it's your lady.
Because Snit's always been a pretty, like, clean-shaven, as far as I know. Now, there's pictures of back in the days, mustache Snit. Yeah,
yes.
For sure. Which, I mean, bring it back. You know, mustache Snit would be fine with me. But, yeah, goatee Snit is it's a little bit of a different vibe, I feel like.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but that's your lady right there, man, which is awesome. It's awesome because, I mean, you be with your woman sometimes. Sometimes she wants to see something different on you.
What's the last facial hair suggestion that your lady's given you?
Never nothing in life.
Really?
No. My wife.
Maybe we're not old enough yet for that.
Yeah, I mean, because my haircut and my facial hair is the same as always. Now, I did attempt to grow my hair out one time, and she wasn't a big fan of that. But
why?
I don't know. And neither am I. Like, I got... I've had braids twice, both times in college in Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's a process because the first time I messed it up because I'm listening to dumb people and put a perm in my head, Andy. Man, I'm talking about it was so straight and so many loose ends. And I swear, Andy, I swear to you, when I would wash it, it would lay down like I was like the Temptations back in the day.
Okay.
That's how it would lay down when I washed it.
Yeah.
And so I wore it that whole year and I cut it off and then I grew it back and I just let it grow. And the thing about it was just one because Mark Rick would not let us wear stocking caps.
Oh.
So we couldn't wear durags. So I would always get my hair braided. I would get my hair braided every Friday afternoon after practice, wearing the game, and they'd be so messed up from the helmet that I would have to take it down.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's too bad.
Yeah, they wouldn't let us wear durags.
That little hat's going to help keep the braids better.
Yeah, man. But they were long enough because, you know, ain't nothing worse than them short braids that stop above the hairline. Now, I ain't never had that situation.
Do we have any photographic evidence of Perm Randy?
Not Perm Randy.
God, I'd like
not
to
perm Randy. No, not perm Randy. But yeah, that thing used to lay. I used to wash that thing. Used to lay down. nothing like a nappy perm, bro.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. My wife just wants me to have a beard all the time.
I know.
All the time. And I don't have one right now. I cut it. I've been going clean shaved for the last couple of weeks. I don't know why. Switch it up. I don't know.
Hey, she likes the mountain man, Andy.
It's too hot, man.
I know, that's right.
We live in Georgia. It's about to be really hot. It's not even hot yet. It's about to be hot. I don't like having a thick beard in August in Georgia, but she likes it. She wants me to look like a lumberjack.
There you go.
I don't blame her. All right, so here's this is Mike Mayock and Rich Eisen from the Rich Eisen Show yesterday talking about Jalen Walker in the Falcons draft.
Walker, you say you had a better grade on him than you do Abdul Carter. Like, why?
I put the tape on, the Georgia tape on Jalen Walker, and he's an off-the-ball linebacker at 243 pounds, and my jaw dropped watching him run. His twitch, his speed, his quickness, his change of direction. But what really intrigued me is on sub-packages, Rich, they played him everywhere from the A-gap over the center all the way out wide as a pass rusher, and I have in my notes all over the place for Jalen Walker, every tape I watched, I have Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Micah
yep.
Parsons.
Yep.
Micah, he reminds me so much of Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that a lot of times when you would see him play in that Georgia scheme, how they went on third down, put him in sub package. That's why a lot of guys leave, because of that simple fact right there, because it's a whole thing. I talked to Rusty about it. But anyways, I love Mike Mayock's take on the draft. He's always one of my favorites. Now, the general manager, Mike Mayock,
he
kind of takes it away from.
That's why I'm pretending that never happened.
Yeah, it kind of takes it away from it sometimes.
That was TV analyst Mike Mayock
But I used to love watching and listening to Mike break down and twitchy and tight hips and all those different things.
That's the same guy that drafted Cleveland Farrell number four overall.
Yeah, and
but whatever.
And what was the thug from Ohio State, Argonaut?
Yeah.
He did get the Jacobs pick right.
Hey, but they got Crosby right.
Yep. Oh, he did draft Max Crosby in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So yeah, he did some good things.
He did some good things.
But no, I think the versatility is what something that stood out at Georgia when you watch him play. But it goes back to what Coach Brick said about him when asked about where they were going to start him. They're going to start him on the edge. They're going to start him on the edge and then allow him to do it. Now, just because you start him on the edge doesn't mean he's not going to do some of the things like Micah does. Now, that's a high praise, and I promise you, I did not know Micah did what he does now coming out of college.
Right.
I did not. Right. I did not know that he was that type of pass rusher and uses his leverage the way he did. So I can't sit here and say that Jalen's going to do that. I didn't know Micah could do that until I saw Micah do it in Dallas.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God.
Well, and it's also, you know, it's hard to know what a guy can do level to level. Like,
right.
Some people can do stuff in college that then you get to the NFL and it's just different. You can't do it. So when you see someone do it on Sunday, it's like, oh, God, this guy can do anything.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's capable really of doing anything defensively. Now, what I learned throughout the interview process, I know Carl and Mike asked Jalen Walker about it. He's got a relationship with Micah Parsons too, which is kind of fun. Like, now again, a relationship with a guy doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to do the things the guy does, but when you're being compared to him a little bit and you're sort of in that mold and you have a relationship with him too, that's kind of fun.
Good Lord, if he can be Micah Parsons.
Well, then, we're in for some fun, you know?
It just seems like it, doesn't it? It does.
Can I be honest with you?
I'm listening.
I'm not trying to get crazy because we don't do that. You know, you try to stay rational, and who knows? The only thing that matters is what happens on the 17 Sundays when the fall comes around and all that kind of stuff. But, like, now the draft has come and gone. I feel really good about what they did, especially in the first round. I'm excited for Penix. I love the weapons on offense. Like, I've kind of allowed myself to start to,
start to what?
Just dream a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy. I'm not dreaming, you know. I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's... I feel like it almost feels like optimism.
Yeah, because, I mean, Micah's what, 6'3", 240? Micah Parsons is 6'3", 245.
Uh-huh.
But, what? Hold on. Okay, I understand.
It just feels a little bit like optimism.
I understand where you're coming from. I need to know. I thought about this morning, Andy. Where is Mike Bell at? Because Mike Bell gave up. Mike, after the season, we started the preseason with all the damn the combine stuff. Mike, my boy Mike Bell was done.
Yeah,
where is Mike Bell at?
I don't know.
Okay, I need to ask Mike Bell where he's at.
I cannot. My pendulum does not swing that far in either direction.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean.
I can't do that. I can't. And God bless Mike for being able to, for being over there and all that. That's an emotional range that I don't have. Okay, All I'm saying is, after that and now a couple of days and hearing people rave and all that kind of stuff, and obviously the Penix part of it is a big part of it for me too, the bias and all that. I don't know. I'm just starting to poking my head up out of the ground, feeling like the groundhog, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm excited.
Okay, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being excited. I want you to be excited. We want Falcons fans to be excited.
But I want to really be excited. I don't want to be like, yeah, you know, you kind of look at it like this, and the division sucks.
Like double dutching.
Like I don't want to be excited with caveats.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I don't want to be excited with conditions.
Right.
Like I want to be genuine. And I feel I don't know. Like it's still early.
Yes, it is.
It's early onset excitement.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
We might not be there yet.
The draft does that. When you get players that you know and good players added to your team, you get excited, especially when you know that you got a quarterback. They have a quarterback and all this. There's nothing wrong with being excited.
I've got excited symptoms. If you plugged them, into WebMD, it would say you might be excited.
We've been together so long.
You might need to consult the doctor.
But we've been together so long. I know the disappointment facing Andy Bunker.
Yeah, but the other thing, we've been together long enough, and I've never really been excited about the Falcons. Every year we've gone into it and been like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we have.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Last year was like the closest. We were like, I don't know, because Kirk's like, you know, if he plays up to how he has, they might be all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Not knowing what was going to happen.
And when he did play all right, they were all right.
Yeah.
You know? But even that, like, that's not what I want. I want to genuinely be excited. Like, it would really be cool to go into
it. I think the closer we get to training camp when we get up there, you will be.
I think I will be, too.
Yeah.
I think I will be, too. Just, you know, that's when you can get hurt. I think I'm ready.
Don't guard your heart.
I think I'm, yeah, you know what? I'm ready.
Don't guard your heart.
I'm ready to get hurt again. All right.
Don't guard your heart.
Let's get Mike Conte in here. We'll talk a little draft reaction with Mike. We haven't talked to Mike about the Hawks front office moves yet, so we'll get some of that. And I don't know if you feel the need to ask him anything about Atlanta United, we can do that too. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.